Shalom, everybody! A number of Mefarshim have dealt with a very critical issue regarding the Meraglim in our Parsha. In the very beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, in Perek Bet, right before Bnei Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, Yehoshua also sent spies to Eretz Yisrael, just like Moshe did in our Parsha. And the question is obvious. Why did Yehoshua, of all people, take the same risk and do the same thing that Moshe did? Yehoshua knew better than anyone how dangerous it was to send Meraglim before Bnei Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. Again, many Mefarshim asked this question. I'd like to share one approach given by Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. He died in 1993, and it's an approach which is a classic style of his, where Rabbi Soloveitchik sees the world and finds beautiful messages through the lens of halacha. This idea of Rabbi Soloveitchik is found in a few places. I've seen it in three different Sfarim, each one written by close students of Rabbi Soloveitchik. I saw it written in the Sefer Mipnine Harav, written by Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. It's on page Shin Yud Gimel. It's also found in the Sefer Reflections of the Rav, written by Rav Avraham Bezdin. He died in 1994. It's in the first volume, beginning on page 117. And it's also found in the Sefer Thinking Aloud on the Parsha, written by David Holzer. It's in the fourth volume, beginning on page 82. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, many Mefarshim point out that the spies in our Parsha, the Meraglim, are never, in fact, referred to as Meraglim. Meraglim are spies, and spying means to find out weak spots in the defense system of a potential enemy, to collect military information. That is what Yehoshua did when he came to the border of Eretz Yisrael. The spies Yehoshua picked are not named in Tanakh, and when they returned with their report, they spoke to Yehoshua quietly and secretly. That's what a spy is supposed to do. But in our Parsha, the 12 men sent by Moshe were sent very publicly, and their names are published for the world to hear, because their mission was not to spy. They were not miraglim. Rather, they were told, latur et Eretz Kanaan. They were sent to see the land, to tour the land, to appreciate the land, to get to know the land. That's what they were sent to do, not to spy, but latur et Eretz Kanaan. I'll add parenthetically that the modern Hebrew word for a tourist, someone who goes to a foreign place to get to know the land there, to appreciate the land there, they're called a tayar, a tourist. In any case, that is what these 12 leaders were meant to do. And why? Rabbi Soloveitchik sees their mission in the halacha. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, says, Asur le'adam shiyekadesh et ha'isha ad sheyirena. It's forbidden for a man to marry a woman and for a woman to marry a man until they see each other. You cannot get married to someone until you know them. And why not? Rabbi Soloveitchik says, excuse me, that marriage is not just an ordinary conception. It's not just a civil commitment or a utilitarian, mundane partnership. Rather, it's an existential commitment. It's a personalistic covenant, he says. The souls of two people join together. Two people decide to unite destinies, to share in the same fate, to keep together, to suffer together, to rejoice together, to travel together, in the words of Rabbi Soloveitchik, to travel together and to pay the toll of the road jointly. In order to take on such an all-inclusive, all-encompassing commitment, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, you have to know the other person to whom you are dedicating your life intimately and thoroughly. That is true about marriage, and to Moshe Rabbeinu, it is true about the relationship that Bnei Yisrael has with Eretz Yisrael. The entry into Eretz Yisrael was not just a physical act of crossing the Jordan River. It's much more than that. To Moshe, it was a marriage between the people and the land. The land and the people became wedded to each other, a union of the Rocky Hills, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, with the people who were returning to their origins, which they left centuries before. The land and B'nai Yisrael are to be fused into one singular existence. Destiny of a people united with the destiny of the land. That's what B'nai Yisrael's entry into Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be. Therefore, the people couldn't just enter into Eretz Yisrael without seeing the land, without appreciating the land, without getting to know the land. That's why they were sent, not to spy, but latur at Eretz Canaan. Unfortunately, the plan did not go off as planned, to say the very least. The 12 representatives returned and said, "We don't want this shidduch. The land is replaceable. It's dispensable. Just the land." Kalev and Yehoshua said, "No, it's Bashert. She's the one." Unfortunately, the others, and so many in B'nai Israel, did not agree. And so the Shidduch had to wait 40 years until the people would fall in love once again with their homeland. Have an amazing day, everyone.